Hey kids, today's beverage is a small shot of Porfidio Anejo tequila. It's not quite Chinaco, but it's golden, and it has a beautiful honey overtone to it, and a nice burn going down. Oh, that is so nice. I have to say that after watching the first debate, I feel 1,000 times better. In fact, it was a smackdown of Olympic proportions. Bush got his ass handed to him by Kerry. He was beaten so badly, it has managed to throw off the GOP spin machine for almost 24 hours. That, in itself, is incredible. There was one creepy part, however. When Bush was asked if Senator Kerry is elected, there will be blah, 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 and Bush replied, "Well, that isn't going to happen because I'm going to be reelected." And he said it not with bravado, but as a statement of fact, as if to say, the fix is in, people. Go home now and don't bother to show up on November 2nd. It was just like the same way he said it in 2000. Really creeped me out. Now, I believe he firmly believes the fix is in. There's no doubt in my mind, since they've had 4 years and billions of dollars to perfect what they did in 2000, that they're going to try to steal it. I'm even sure the networks are probably in on it as well. All they have to do is the same as they did last time, call it for Bush before it's over. If they all follow suit, no one will need to count any ballots. It will be taken as fact by the simple-minded public. Which begs the question, why would they take it as fact? Why have so many people become not simply Republicans, but Bush followers? I've actually been thinking about this a lot recently, and something finally occurred to me. In Webster's Dictionary, to imbue with a usually partisan or sectarian opinion, point of view, or principle is the definition of indoctrinate. And great devotion to a person, idea, object, or movement is one of the definitions of cult. So I did a little research on cults. On the Cult 101 website, do a search for Cult 101 and you'll find it. There is some amazing information. One item is the checklist of cult characteristics. Now listen to this and see if some of these sound familiar and have a ring of truth to them. The group is focused on a living leader to whom members seem to display excessively zealous, unquestioning commitment. The group is preoccupied with bringing in new members. The group is preoccupied with making money. Questioning, doubt, and dissent are discouraged or even punished. Mind-numbing techniques, such as denunciation sessions or debilitating work routines, are used to suppress doubts or the group and its leaders. Listening to Rush Limbaugh or O'Reilly might qualify here, I think. The leadership dictates, sometimes in great detail, how members should think, act, and feel. The group is elitist, claiming a special, exalted status for itself and its leader and members of the group and or the leader has a special mission to save humanity. The group has a polarized us versus them mentality, which causes conflict with the wider society. The group teaches or implies that its supposedly exalted ends justify means that members would have considered unethical before joining the group. Not counting votes, perhaps? The leadership induces guilt feelings in members in order to control them. Members' subservience to the group causes them to cut ties with family and friends and to give up personal goals and activities that were of interest before joining the group. Members are expected to vote inordinate amounts of time to the group. Members are encouraged or required to live and or socialize only with other group members. Kind of sounds like the Freepers a little. And a lot of Republicans, I know. I think we all need to realize that this is what we have here with the BFEE and the modern Republican Party, a cult of indoctrinated people who have been brainwashed by our media. The neocons have managed to hijack what used to be a great many sane, intelligent, reasonable people who could recognize integrity and honor and who, for the most part, had some semblance of moral compass, and have brainwashed masses of people by feeding them fear and the party line as if it's the Pledge of Allegiance over and over and over. Unfortunately, I don't know where we start with deprogramming on such a large scale. They're everywhere. But I think the place to start is by being informed and not being quiet about it anymore. Let me give you an example. A good friend of mine who did not watch the debate went to work today. He works in the big red state and was fuming because everyone in his office was going on and on about how Bush was so great and kicked Kerry's ass. And he said that he could say nothing. I told him, if you had only watched the debate. Now, I know watching Bush is worse than chewing foil or nails on a chalkboard, but if you had seen it, you would have just laughed in their face, accused them of smoking crack, and having obviously not watched it themselves, since their boy had a complete brain meltdown that the entire world witnessed. And no amount of spin is going to change that. Deer in the headlights is putting it mildly. You wouldn't have even had to think about it. It would have been an instinctive reaction. If more of us would do this and stop taking their delusional bullshit and call them on it, maybe they'll finally wake up and realize they've been lied to, conned, and been much abused by these people and come back to the real world. Or not. But it makes sense to me now. It's a cult. Plain and simple. A cult on a grand scale. It also puts into perspective what we're up against. Anyway. Do some of your own research on cults if you have your doubts. Until next week, I'm Tally, and this has been La Perspective Femme.
I welcome you to the first of the 2004 presidential debates. So let's begin. President Bush, the official position of your administration continues to be that Iraq will hold elections in January. Given the chaotic situation in that country, how will this be possible?
Jim, our plan in Iraq has always been a three-phase plan. Phase one, invade the country, free a people, and remove a brutal dictator. In phase two, we smoke these folks out. By letting them think they're winning, you know, convincing them that we don't know what we're doing. In other words, lulling them into a false sense of security. And that's where we are right now. Phase two, the lulling phase. And despite what our critics would tell you, it's working.
And what happens in phase three?
Jim, we're still working on phase three. You know, and believe me, we're working hard. Because it's, it's hard work. And we're working hard. Every day. Working evenings, ordering in, working hard together. Now to answer your question, we don't know all the details yet, but basically in phase three, we crush the terrorists, then hold elections so that the Iraqi people can choose their own destiny. Because I believe all people want freedom, don't you?
Huh? Absolutely. Yeah. But when you say crush the terrorists, how exactly do you plan to do that?
By working hard. Working Saturdays.
So your plan is to crush the terrorist by coming in on Saturdays?
If that's what it takes.
Do you have a contingency plan to restore stability in the country?
Of course we do, Jim. You know, we work hard. You know, we came up with a contingency plan. You know, that's our job. You know, and it's hard work.
Could you describe the contingency plan?
Let me first say, I don't believe this contingency plan will be necessary because, the fact is we are, we're winning. But, if by some chance it should prove impossible to restore stability in time for elections, the backup plan would be to replace Mr. Alawi with a more forceful, authoritarian leader, someone who can bring order to Iraq until it's ready for democracy.
And that leader would be?
Saddam Hussein.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for a George W. Bush Iraqi update. This is a George W. Bush Iraqi update. George?
About Iraq. One of the lessons that changed, one of the lessons we learned, or must have learned, or must never forget,
very volatile situation in Washington State. Mount St. Helens apparently is spewing and getting ready to erupt. Basically, it's a fascinating situation. After all these hurricanes that hit Florida, it's nice. I think it's God basically saying to us, that's not all I got. I can kill you from underneath, from up here. I'm a man. It's nice to know he can destroy us in a myriad of ways.
So in conclusion, let me restate my position. I would like to order one BLT and one Caesar salad with two place settings and a third napkin. I'm John Kerry and I approve that order. Oh, Teresa, wasn't I wonderful in the debate?
John, the election is in 31 days. And we need to make them love you the way they love me. Teresa, Heinz, Kerry. Getting to know you, getting to know all about you.
Oh, now cut out that singing now, Teresa.
James Carville.
That's right. Teresa, we got voters out there, and you sound crazy in a tomcat and a bag of squirrels. We can't have that now.
So, tell us, James, are you here to congratulate me on my debate performance, or is your visit serendipitous?
Serendipitous? John, you use too many words. You don't get too excited. Now, you beat George Bush in a talking contest. That's like Wilt Chamberlain play basketball against Stephen Hawking and beat him by 2 points. A man can't talk, John. We got to get you more tough. You know what I'm saying? We got to get you more Republican. Give you some edge. You know, they say you're a flip-flopper. What you say back?
Well, I try to explain that my voting record has many nuances.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just fell asleep. And when I woke up, you lost the whole election right there.
Now, James, I am gaining in the polls.
Yeah, you did good. You did good, but you got to do better. Your advisors tell you to be more human. What do you do? You go windsurfing. You want to be more human, you got to do people things. Play baseball, drive a car, use a telephone. We got wind blowing down people's homes in Florida. And what's John Kerry doing with that wind? He's surfing on it, having a grand old time.
No, that's not entirely fair.
Fair. Democrats always want fair. I told you, we got to get more Republican. Dick Cheney goes on the TV, says if people vote for you, we're going to get hit by terrorists. Let me tell you what I would do if Dick Cheney said something like that about me. All right? I'd go to his house in the wintertime, fill his basement with water, kick in all the windows, and it freeze solid like a rock. All right, then the ice expands. His whole house will crumble down around him. I'd just be sitting up there on the hill laughing at him. Ah, look at you, Dick Cheney. Look at what'd you do about it, John Kerry? Nothing.
Well, just a moment.
And another thing. Please, God Almighty, if you go to the Pottery Barn It's not you break it, you fix it. Why the hell you say that? If you break it, you buy it. Have you ever been to a Pottery Barn?
No, I've never been there.
Of course not.
Our sustenance has arrived.
It's room service, John. Use a small word.
Carl, we gotta wrap this up. I wanna get back down in that swimming pool.
Bill, I thought you were recuperating.
Look, I couldn't sit around in some hospital bed when there's so much to be done.
Bill, I don't need any more campaign advice.
Campaign? That's not why I'm here. I'm in Florida because these hurricanes have put a lot of trailer park ladies on the street. And the only thing better than a trailer park girl is one that is desperate. And one that is wet.
What's up, Buttercup?
Hey, watch it, Bill. That's my wife you're talking to.
Oh, now, Lord have mercy, John. Watching you two show affection is like watching two lobsters in a kung fu movie.
I agree.
I thought you might.
Teresa Hines, you are a firecracker. I can think of 57 varieties of things I'd like to do.
Bill.
And I would do it with relish.
Bill, I am begging you.
You can run, Teresa, but I'll catch you up.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklefush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune in to the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at
10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Air America Radio.
I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yard, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Picklefush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for a George W. Bush Iraqi update. George?
They want us to leave. That's what they want us to do. And I think the world would be better off if we did leave. If we left, the world would be worse.
Talking about politics, the national budget, or even the war. Robin and I are sitting down and talking to them about a daughter sticking her tongue out at the press. Who is the heavy when it comes to discipline in the family? Do they believe in spanking?
Does he believe in spanking? He believes in executing the retarded. Of course he believes in spanking.
Big stories that we missed this summer was New Jersey Governor Jim McGreevy's announcement that he is gay and that he will resign amid gay-related scandal involving Golink Sapel, an Israeli former staffer.
To get the local perspective on the issue, Weekend Update would now like to present an editorial from this New Jersey resident.
How you doing? Well, first of all, I'd like to thank you for letting me be here, and it's a little token of my appreciation.
Wow, a DVD player. Thank you.
It's a Sanyo. It's a good one.
Thank you.
Nice.
And if I knew you were going to be here, I would have brought one for you too, sweetheart.
Oh, that's okay. I'm good.
Yeah, you are.
it. Would you like to sit down?
No, I'm going to stand in case I want to leave.
Okay, so your editorial about Jim McGreevy.
Yeah, I'm getting to it. Look, I didn't want to talk about this McGreevy stuff, but I can't keep my mouth shut anymore. I mean, so the guy's a fanook. Big deal, he had an affair. Every married guy's got some action on the side. In this case, in the behind. But instead of just paying the guy's rent and banging him in the penguin house of a zoo, McGreevy puts his Gumar on a payroll.
And I think part of the...
Don't interrupt me when I'm talking.
Sorry.
As I was saying, you never mix business with pleasure, unless that business is prostitution.
But people also feel that going to Pell because...
Whoa. Come on. You got a nice face.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Well, use your head. Anyway, I support the guy, but he made some big mistakes. Not only did he put his boyfriend on the payroll, he put him in charge of Homeland Security. Now everybody knows the big guys handle security, and the Jews watch the money.
Type people.
Sorry, sweetheart. I didn't know you were one of the chosen people.
I'm not, but you can't say stuff like that.
Just did. Anyway, I said what I had to say, and it was very nice meeting you, and the mouthy one, I'm not so sure.
The scariest man I have ever been attracted to. A Pakistani man who convinced his infertile wife to have an operation so they could have children was arrested after he got the doctors to cut out one of her kidneys instead so he could sell it and then divorce her. Ugh, that's just rude. Oh, you know, tell me about it. That is what Jimmy did to me. I thought he loved me. It turns out he was just trying to steal my kidney.
Oh, my God. Sorry to hear that, Tina.
No, it's fine. I'm over it. I mean, actually, I think this is going to work out really well between me and you because it's like good energy. It's going to be kind of cool, like that movie Monster.
Yeah?
Yeah, you saw that movie Monster, right?
Yeah. Are you going to kill me?
No, I'm going to kill other people, and you're going to be my girlfriend.
Cool!
This week, Norway became the world oyster opening champions. This was a stunning upset for last year's oyster opening champion, Colin Farrell.
You are listening to Bart Cop Radio at bartcop.com. Keeper of the Democratic Jewels.
Well, that was Bart Cop Radio Show 56. I hope you liked it. I'd like to say thanks to the subscribers and those who send the occasional check in the mail for keeping us on the air, for keeping the page going, keeping the radio show going. Staying alive, I believe, is a worthy goal. So I'll get to work on Show 57. By the time you hear this, we will have been through the Edwards snarl debate and maybe Kerry Smirk number 2. Let's hope we keep up the big mo and November 2nd turns out to be a really good day for us. And remember, everybody call in drunk November 3rd. We're going to need it either way. Bart out.
Everybody, let's get into it. Get stoned. Come on. Get started. Come on. Get started. Get started. Let's get it started.
Control a body and soul. Don't move too fast, people just take it slow. Don't get ahead, just jump into it. Y'all hear about it, the people do it. Get started, get stupid. Don't worry about it, people will walk you through it step by step like an infant new kid. Inch by inch with a new solution. Transmit hits with no delusion. The feeling's irresistible and that's how we move it.
Everybody, everybody, let's get into it. Get stupid, get started, get started. Get started. Let's get it started. Ha!
running, running.
Come on now, let's get it. Dell applicator will be the bug dot drill. Just lose your mind, this is the time. Your kids stand still, just bang your spine. Just bob your head like me, Apple D. Up inside your club or in your Bentley. Get messy, loud and sick. Your mind fast, no more than another head trip. So come them now, do not correct it. Let's get ignorant, let's get hectic.
Everybody, everybody, let's get into it. Get stoned, get started, get started.